County State's Attorney Mike Moore. And, Mike, we've got, not only are we live here in a special edition of the show, we have guests.
We do.
And we've done guests before, but we've only had two microphones. We have four microphones. We've got four people on the air this morning.
I know. I'm excited. This is a big step up for us.
Now, have you been able to get out to the fair and enjoy the fair otherwise?
I have. I've been out the last couple nights. It's been hot during the day, so
sure.
I usually come out in the evening. Kids are enjoying the midway, the carnival, and I've been out here to enjoy some of the food.
Well, good. And the food is a big part of the South Dakota State Fair. Now, we are live. We are located in front of the Arts and Education Building, just kind of kitty corner from the Expo Center, where they've got the South Dakota Highway Patrol rollover simulator. We're not far from the American Ethanol Austin Dillon NASCAR race car on display. So come on by. Stop. Now, you've got something for folks that come by, Mike.
We do. We have the Mike Moore Show t-shirt, the official t-shirt of the Mike Moore Show.
Now, this is something that you did on your own, correct?
This is. I think it's, you know, it's taken us to the next level, market the show a little bit, and we're going to get some listeners, and we're going to give one away for free to the person that comes to the booth or where we're talking today.
Okay.
We have a little note card here. They're going to write down the legal limit, the driving legal limit of alcohol in your blood.
Okay.
In South Dakota, if the first person to come in here and writes that down for us gets a free t-shirt for the Mike Moore Show.
All right, so we will try to work that into the program here today. And as I mentioned, we do have guests on the program. The first guest who is with us right now is from the Sioux Falls Police Department, Lieutenant Lauren McManus. Did I get that right?
You did, as a matter of fact, yes.
Now, you may recognize that name. Lauren, you, for a while there, with Sioux Falls Police Department, were the public information officer, correct?
Right. That was from, about 2005 through about 2008 when I held that position.
Why the change, I guess? Why are you not currently still doing it?
Well, what happened is in 2008, the state of South Dakota received this grant from the Department of Justice that allowed for domestic violence specific investigator in both Sioux Falls and then Minnehaha County and Lincoln County also. And at that time I was the public information officer, but I had had some background and investigation in my background. So I applied for that position and I was able to get that. So in 2008 I moved from the PIO position to the investigative position for the department.
Now, I find that interesting when you talk about the grant that you just did, because I know, Mike, you have a regional prosecutor
right
in your office.
Right, I do.
So,
yeah, it's I think it's all out of the same funding, the VAWA money. There's a lot of different things that you can do with that. I have money that's geared towards prosecution. I think Lauren talking about his grant, there's a lot of money out there geared towards law enforcement, so there's investigations going on in those types of cases.
Now, in addition to that, you're no stranger to the radio, Lauren.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Zach, because as I was contemplating coming up here, and thanks, Mike, for inviting me, by the way.
Thanks for coming.
As I was contemplating coming up here, and I was thinking, you know, back in 1974, when I started in this crazy radio industry, I don't think you were alive, Zach, were you probably?
80.
Yeah, Mike, you probably weren't around either.
I was five in 1974.
Okay.
I was a listener.
Yes. But I got my start up in Watertown, which is my hometown. That's where I began my radio career. And, Zach, I think you can appreciate this because you're obviously in the industry. But, you know, back in those days when I first started and had a couple of years under my belt, there were certain radio stations that you looked up to in the state and around the region.
Absolutely.
Boy, it'd be great to work at one of those or whatever. You know, and KOKK back in the day was always one of those radio
stations.
Very music-intensive format back in the day. So it was always a goal to work at KOKK. So to be here today on the station is rather serendipitous, I think.
Well, we appreciate having you. And plus, he's sporting the Mike Moore shirt. You know, that's a good thing, the Mike Moore Show shirt.
Well,
and this is his first time to the state fair.
I was going to ask you about that. We were talking about that off air. You've never been to, now have you been to Huron before?
Well, I've been to Huron before, but never to the state fair, actually. So it's very interesting that, you know, 55 years on this earth and in the state for most of that time, and I had never had the opportunity to actually come to the state fair and enjoy the festivities. So this is kind of a double whammy for me. I get to be on the Mike Moore Show, and I get to have a state fair corn dog.
And I was going to say, what are you looking forward to the most about checking out the fair here?
Definitely the corn dog. No doubt about it. Maybe even a foot long if I can find one.
Well, I can take you in the right direction for that when we're done, because it is going to be noon by the time we're done here, so it's going to be lunchtime, and that should work out good. Ward, I have a question for you. As we discussed off air, as we've pittered around a little bit here on the radio before, I'm a reserve officer in the city of Huron. Does Sioux Falls have a reserve officer program?
We do. It's actually managed by the Minnehaha County Department of Emergency Management. So they're the oversight for that program. And the reserve officers have the ability to work with the Sioux Falls Police Department, with the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Department, and, of course, with the state troopers that are assigned in that district as well. So very good program. You know, it's really kind of hard to explain sometimes, but the amount of time that we rely on those officers is incredible. And they do it voluntarily. That's the great part about it. You know, and you know that as a reserve now, you know, they have a certain amount of hours they have to perform each month to keep their accreditation and keep their training up and those kinds of things. And, you know, many of them have full-time jobs, obviously. So it's a big commitment for them to take that time away from their families and from their jobs to provide that service to us. But, boy, it's an extra set of eyes, an extra set of hands, and really some good help when we need it.
What is the thought process of some of the full-time officers? I mean, at when this program came into being, was there any of the and I'm trying to think of the word to put the right words in my mouth here. Was there any thought that, you know, hey, these guys are coming in and taking hours from full-time guys and they haven't done their paid their dues necessarily? You know, there's a mentality that I've found out that, you know, some guys are kind of shaky about people coming in off the street to be police officers. What were the thoughts of the full-time officers as the program was implemented?
Well, it's interesting because actually in the contract that governs some of the work that we do, there is a specific category that talks about reserve officers and how they can't be used to take over full-time positions. And, of course, they're in a non-paid position anyway, so from the monetary standpoint, it's not really a concern. I think the bigger concern was initially, and it's a little bit difficult to explain, but if you can imagine your workplace, whatever you do for your profession, and if you have a particular workstation or a desk that you work at or wherever it is that you go to work every day, and I use the analogy of a desk, if you can imagine going to work and you sit down at your desk and there's a body sitting right in the middle of it, that's kind of what it's like to have somebody else in your patrol car with you when you're working. It's just, those of us that work in single-man patrol cars, it's just odd to have somebody else on the other side of the car because, obviously, we're responsible for that person, for their safety, for their well-being, and those kinds of things. But having that other body there does have its benefits. And like I talked about, it's another set of eyes that we get to use because oftentimes the person who is the passenger has the ability to take a better look around. They're not worried about driving and all those types of things. So they have the ability to look around and see some things that maybe me as an officer driving wouldn't pick up on. And then again, when it gets to be time to make an arrest or whatever the case may be, then you've got a backup right there with you. So I think by and large, at least in our jurisdiction, the reserve officers have been welcomed into the fold, if you will, and have become a big part of what we do.
Mike, did you have anything?
I was just going to ask, Lauren, why don't you talk a little bit about the number of officers you have in Sioux Falls right now and how that's grown over the years.
Well, right now we have the allocation that we're allowed by the city is 245 sworn officers, and that's from the chief on down to the newest officer. And then we have about 30 to 35, now almost 40, I guess, civilian support staff that fall within that. So we're pushing 300 employees within the department. And again, 245 of those are sworn officers. And about 110 to 15 are officers that are on daily patrol and fill that function.
And how long? You've been there about 20 years. And how has that grown over that 20-year span that you've been there?
Quite a bit. I think there were around 140 to 45 sworn officers when I started. So in 20 years, we've added about 100 positions. But the population has also grown quite a bit. You know, we're still tracking it between 3,000 to 5,000 people a year coming to Sioux Falls. And so that brings a lot of different issues with it as well. Diversity, the infrastructure problems, all those kinds of things. So.
All right, you're listening to the Mike Moore Show, a special edition of the Mike Moore Show, live from the 2015 South Dakota State Fair. We will bring in our second guest in the program, after the break. You're listening to the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.